Lane Montgomery started out like many as a home winemaker. Self-admittedly, he concocted some mediocre stuff at first, but a quest to discover and learn the art of crafting fine wine eventually changed his life. He was hooked. He quit his day job in television and started a commercial winery in Lodi, California named M2. Today, M2 and Montgomery are known for producing truly finely crafted award-winning artisanal Old Vine Zinfandel, Tempranillo, Syrah, and Petite Syrah blends, and more. We met up with Montgomery at his architecturally dramatic winery, where he shared tales of his journey and participation in the Lodi Native Movement. It's an affiliation of Lodi winemakers who have made a commitment to craft wines the really old-fashioned way, without adding yeast or any manipulation, from the moment the grapes are crushed and aged in neutral oak barrels to bottle aging. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Lodi, California. Right now we're with Lane Montgomery, who's the founder of M2 Wines, and he's also the winemaker. Lane, what a pleasure to meet you and come out and see your tasting room and your facility, well, all in one.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm glad to talk with you.
Let's go back in time a little bit. And as I recall you saying earlier, you kind of got the wine bug as a 19-year-old.
Right.
It's interesting.
Right. Born in Missouri, grew up in Arkansas. I never had wine until I was 19 years old. The very first wine I ever had was Pink Catawba, or Catawba. I still can't pronounce it right, Catawba. It was dreadful. You know, it was a rosé. It's like today's white Zinfandel, but not nearly as good. I had never had wine before, but I had read a lot, and I was always curious. And I was like, if this is what wine is, why are there so many books and magazines and stuff written about it? And that was like in 1980. That led to this curiosity. I took a wine appreciation class in 1983. I made a trip to Napa, California in the summer of 1984. You know, what is this stuff? And why is that one good? Why is that one bad? That just kind of led to a consumer interest for, you know, another 20 plus years.
How did you jump from Arkansas to California?
I worked in television broadcasting for years. I met my wife when I was living in Colorado. She moved to Arizona. I moved to Arizona. We had a friend there who tried to teach me to make home beer. I never made good beer at home. We moved to California. Karen said, you don't like the beer you're making, why don't you try making wine? And she meant 5-gallon bucket and a glass carboy. But I heard, let's quit our day jobs and open a winery.
Wow. Where were you living at that time?
In Folsom, California. We're in Lodi. I still live in Fair Oaks, north here. So I commute every day. One of these days we're going to move down here. I love this region. This is a great town, great community, great place to live. She found a vineyard up in El Dorado County who was willing to sell small amounts of grapes to home winemakers, and we made a 30-gallon barrel of wine that year that was turned out dreadful. I misunderstood the inverse relationship between pH and acid, and it just led from there. 2000, we made another barrel. We met another couple, and we made home wine together up until 2003, and then had this really not well-thought-out dumb idea about starting a commercial winery. And, you know, we had $78,000 between us, and we contracted with a winery in Amador County and started making wine there. We opened up our original place in the fall of 2006, released our first 2004 vintage with 750 cases of a Zinfandel, Cab Syrah blend, and a Syrah.
These were all Sierra Foothill, higher elevation.
The Zinfandel was from Susie Vineyard here in Lodi, vineyard planted in 1916. By Kevin Susie's grandfather, and I've been making wine from that vineyard every year, and I think it's one of the best places in the world for Zinfandel.
When did you get your stride, and what was the game changer for you as a winemaker?
I'm still learning, and I still make mistakes, but I'm pretty proud that we'll not bottle them and try to sell them if they're bad.
Well, you've obviously bottled some good wines because I see some Chronicle Awards and Orange County Fair.
And Wine Enthusiast Points and that stuff. But that Zinfandel, the first commercial release I did in 2004, was selected in a competition as one of the top 12 Zins of Lodi. I thought, hey, all right. And then we opened up our original tasting room in October of 06. People started coming slowly at first, just kept at it. Naive stubbornness and the grace of God, and we're still in business.
Are you known first as a Zin producer?
We're known primarily for Zinfandel. We also have a following for our Rhone wine. I do a Syrah. I do a blended Syrah, Petite Syrah, Viognier. We're still doing that Cabernet Syrah blend from the foothills. I mean, I was too stupid to quit. My original partner left when it got hard. I've been blessed by having current business partners. I mean, the winery here is Ted Woodruff made this place happen. It's a gorgeous little winery here in the region.
Even as just an architectural structure, it's way cool.
It's really cool. My vision was to have an indoor-outdoor tasting room in a vineyard, and that's what we've got.
And it really is a fascinating indoor-outdoor experience with the sliding...
With the sliding walls and then the steel and, you know, the tasting room has 20-foot high, 20 by 20 sliding steel frame plastic walls that slide open and close based on the weather conditions. The winery side is heavily insulated, very energy efficient. This place would meet LEED certification for sustainable, responsible, whatever the terms are for architecture. But it works. We're at our capacity of how much wine we can make here, but I'm really proud we've been able to build the equipment and have great equipment that makes it easier to make good wine. You can't make good wine from crappy grapes, and I have good grape sources. But having good equipment and tank space and good barrels and everything make it a lot easier to make good grapes into good wine.
Speaking of that, there's a program that was started here called Lodi Native.
Yes, the Lodi Native Project. Oh boy, that's interesting. It was proposed in the spring of 2012 by Randy Caparoso via the Lodi Wine Grape Commission. And the idea was to showcase the old vineyards of this region, the heritage, the history, some of these older vineyards in Lodi. There were world-class vineyards here, but people didn't know about them because, you know, it's ag. And there's a big difference between growing grapes and growing wine. But we knew these vineyards grew great wine. And the point of the program is to strip away all the modern tools that all wineries use to craft consistently good wines. And the Lodi Native Program relies on the indigenous yeast that's in the air or in the vineyard. No new oak, no adjustment of pH, no alcohol reduction via reverse osmosis. The point was to show the vineyard fruit at its most basic form.
And basically utilizing the tools that a winemaker would have had 1,000 years ago.
Right, except we don't use goat skins and amphora. But it was a real hands-off approach. And then, you know, the irony of it is you sweat and slave in your vineyard, tweaking it all summer long with shoot thinning and leaf pulling and careful irrigation and measuring the water in the ground so you don't overwater, you don't underwater, and then careful picking, careful selection at the crusher, and then you're not allowed to do anything else. So that's really funny to me, you know.
Stand back and
you
wait.
You grow the best grapes you can, then you stand back and pray that it works out.
And how did it work out?
My 2012 vintage was great. My 2013 was... My 2014 is very pure, don't touch it stuff. I'm not sure. I still can't figure it out. I still don't know if I like it or not.
How about the other participants?
Oh, you'll get a different version of the same story from Stuart Spencer of Saint Amant and Ryan Sherman of Fields Family and Chad Joseph of Maley Brothers and Tim Holdener at Machia and Mike McKay of McKay Cellars. We've entered these wines for review and competitions and critiques, and we've all spent time at number one on the list, and we've all spent time in the cellar. It's fascinating, but it really does showcase that this region is world-class, and it has premium world-class vineyards, and that's a lot of fun.
And I think one of the disconnects of Lodi, that anybody that knows anything about Lodi, but not very much, is first going to think of bulk wine, grocery store wine, box wine.
Well, yeah, and that's...
And that's a shame in the sense that, yes, that happens here, but there's also that artisanal, finely crafted, the garagistas that you were at one time.
There is the supermarket wine, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's agriculture, but there is the artisan stuff, too.
A lot of people don't know that.
That's true. That's one of the purposes of the Lodi Native Program, was to introduce people to that concept. So far, it's really proving out that it works.
Talking to some of the grape growers in the county here, some of their product is shipped to Napa and Sonoma.
Well, this is the largest grape-growing region in California. So there are a lot of grapes that are grown here that end up in famous name wines, but you got to know how to read the label and understand when it says California Appellation.
Most people would never know.
Yeah. Right. But they're good wines. To me as a winemaker, there's no such thing as a bad wine if it's well made. It may just not be something I want to drink.
If we were done tasting at your winery, M2, and then we had leftover afternoon time, where would be the two stops that you'd first take me?
I would go to St. Amant for the port style wines that Tim Spencer made. Tim passed away 10 years ago, his son and his wife Barbara. Amazing wines. And then, oh, good grief. That's a hard question.
Yeah, it is. Put you on the spot.
That's a hard question. It depends on what you like. Sue Tipton at Acquiesce makes amazing white wines that I'm still surprised at, because this isn't known as a white wine region. Stuff that Marcus Bokish does with Albarino and Vermentino. And then you got the other craft wineries, Fields Family. There's Mike McKay, of course, one of my buddies. There's Oak Farm up the road here. Durst, Harney Lane, Dave Dart at DeArt Wines. There's a lot of great places.
Cool. Lane Montgomery, I wish I could stay all afternoon with you, but my car is leaving.
Yeah, where are they going?
I don't know, but they're ditching me. Lane Montgomery, founding partner and winemaker at M2 Wines in Lodi, California. What a pleasure to meet you and spend the afternoon with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's nice to have the time to talk and share my enthusiasm for wine and this region and M2 and what we're doing.
Excellent. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Lodi, California. We've been talking with Lane Montgomery, winemaker at M2 Wines, and that's m2wines.com.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.